Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about emergency preparedness programs with the Minnesota National Guard's 55th Civil Support Team and a new initiative that increases the number of veteran-owned firms who can bid on Minnesota Department of Transportation projects. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. In fact, earlier this month, the International Association for Suicide Prevention recognized September 10th as the 10th annual World Suicide Prevention Day. In addition to local, state, and federal resources available to all citizens regarding suicide prevention, in the Minnesota National Guard, we have placed a special emphasis on suicide prevention education within our ranks. In the last year, nearly 200 members of the Minnesota National Guard have been trained in a program called Comprehensive Soldier and Family Fitness. This program is about teaching life skills to service members and their families. Our trainers are helping service members cope and deal with life issues in a healthy and beneficial manner and implementing resilience training throughout the force. Additionally, more than 225 service members have been trained as suicide intervention officers. These personnel are spread throughout our ranks. They help identify at-risk behaviors and acts as the first line of defense for service members who are dealing with crisis or contemplating suicide. I'm proud to say that our recent education efforts are making a stronger Minnesota National Guard. This year, we have seen a 42% drop in suicide attempts and ideations. This is a healthy path that I intend to keep on for years to come. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's a group of quiet professionals actively engaged in the war on terror right here in Minnesota. And joining us now from the 55th Civil Support Team is Staff Sergeant Josh Joyce. Sergeant Joyce, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Sergeant Joyce, how long have you been in the military? You took a little bit of a strange route to get to the United States Air Force.
Yes, sir. I started out with the Minnesota Army National Guard in 96, my junior year of high school. And then served with the Army until 2010. 2010, I received this position with the 55th Civil Support Team. One requirement is I had to switch over to the Air Force. Now, our team is primarily an Army-based team. Out of the 22 of us, there's three Air Force people. But the position I took was an Air Force position.
Well, Sergeant Joyce, as an old Air Force sergeant, welcome to the United States Air Force.
Oh, it's been great, Tom. Thank you.
Now, the 55th Civil Support Team, we had Sergeant Lubitz on about a year ago, but can you tell us what the team's all about and what you do?
Yes, sir, I sure can. 55th Civil Support Team is a weapons of mass destruction quick reaction team. What we do is we are subject matter experts on anything chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, or in the event of a high-yield explosive. We will go in when a community or local responder exhausts all their resources and they need to pull back, either if it's outside of their limits or if they don't have the proper equipment, if they don't have the proper training, we'll go in.
So the 55th Civil Support Team is part of the Minnesota National Guard.
Yes, sir.
And you have some federal responsibilities and federal reports?
That is correct. We are kind of an oddball in the National Guard. We have both our state mission as well as our federal mission. Our state mission is just what it would imply. We work here with our local communities to train and to respond to events. But then we're also backup for other states in the case of a major incident. Another example of a federal mission, Tom, would be when there's a Super Bowl or an extremely high-profile event, they'll often bring in several civil support teams to work an event.
We're speaking with Staff Sergeant Josh Joyce from the 55th Civil Support Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Sergeant Joyce, you know, I think of the Twin Cities and Minnesota as a pretty safe place. And we've got fire departments out there that have all kinds of teams that do things. And now we've got this high-level 55th Civil Support Team. How does that all work together between communities and the sheriff and the state and the National Guard? And how does this all pull together? And what are you really there to watch out for?
Well, first off, we are actually there to support our civilian partners. We never go in, and it's never our site when we get there. So a lot of times it'll start out with a chemical assessment team, also known as a CAT team, which are a group of firefighters that have volunteered to take on a secondary role. There's 11 of them spread out throughout the state of Minnesota. And we do a lot of training events as well as reactive events if they have an incident that they need some support on.
So maybe you could walk us through an example. You were telling me earlier about an example where there was an incident at an apartment complex. Can you tell me who was called, who called you in, and how you all worked together? Can you walk us through that?
I sure can. That happened on a Halloween night, and there was an apartment complex where the residents were complaining of a strange odor that was actually making quite a few people nauseous, and some people had shown symptoms of being sick. A local call went to that city's fire department. That fire department notified the local chemical assessment team that we talked about earlier. Chemical assessment team went in there and picked up on some readings for nerve agent. It maxed out their equipment, so they pulled back, and then they contacted us through the state duty officer. State duty officer then calls the Joint Operations Center, and then we get the okay to carry on with our portion of the mission by either the adjutant general or the governor himself. We got to the scene, and we found the same readings of nerve agent, and we limited it down, and we are actually able to find that the nerve agent was coming from a open container of Glidden paint, which is known to give off false positives to nerve agent. The nauseous odor, Tom, actually came from a dirty litter box.
A dirty litter box?
Dirty litter box. That started the whole thing.
Now, how long did that all take between the time the fire department asked for help and the time you got there? It sounds like quite a process, but I imagine it was a matter of minutes or less than an hour. You were there pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't remember the specific time on that, but our team mission is to be able to, everybody can be recalled back to our home station within 1 hour. We have very strict guidelines that we're not to leave a one-hour radius of the Twin Cities Airport, and that's every day of the year.
Now, your civil support team is on call 24/7?
That is correct. 24 hours, 7 days a week, we are ready to go. There's been instances where I've called my wife at work and told her I'll see her in 72 hours. I had something to do.
She must be a very understanding lady.
She's wonderful, yeah. She's very understanding. With my team, we also, each individual position has an immense amount of training. And we're gone for training quite a bit. And, very supportive families, or it wouldn't be possible.
Sergeant Joyce, we've talked on this show before about the Minnesota National Guard has a state mission and a federal mission. Your unit sounds like you've got a local, state, and federal missions where you can take care of things happen here at home, but if there's an emergency somewhere around the country, you can be called on as a backup?
That is correct. We go to anything that's within the United States. We'll also go to the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, Guam. There are 57 teams across the country. And if there's a major incident, we actually will back up each other's teams to have the 72-hour rotation covered.
And an example of that would be like the hurricanes?
Yep, Hurricane Katrina. They brought in several CST teams as well as several more teams provided their communications equipment.
Sergeant Joyce, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about a couple of other examples of where you've been called to make sure the Twin Cities are safe. We're speaking with Staff Sergeant Josh Joyce from the 55th Civil Support Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons, and I've been joined by Staff Sergeant Josh Joyce from the 55th Civil Support Team, and we've been talking about all of the great things that this special unit from the Minnesota National Guard does to keep us safe. Sergeant Joyce, quickly, once again, what does the team do? And can you tell me a little bit about the people that make up your team and the expertise there?
Absolutely, Tom. Our team is the 55th Civil Support Team. We are a weapons of mass destruction quick reaction team. Our goal is to identify, assess, assist, and advise local incident commanders on a chemical or biological, radiological, nuclear, or high-yield explosive situation. Our team is comprised of 22 subject matter experts. One interesting thing about that, Tom, is we don't have any junior enlisted on the team. Everybody comes onto the team with a certain knowledge base and maturity level. We have one of our members is a doctor that has ER trauma experience. We have a nuclear scientist. Myself, I'm a communications expert, anything from HF radio all the way up to computer networking, Cisco certifications, things along those lines.
So in case of a big emergency, if the normal lines of communication go down, you've got some alternatives, I would assume?
Yes, sir. That is my job. Anywhere in the United States, I can provide secure data, secure voice, normal data. I can interlink with any agency. I could, if you brought a Fisher-Price walkie-talkie, I could interlink it with a sheriff up in Moorhead.
Wow. It's nice to know that we have those capabilities.
Yes, sir.
Available locally. Sergeant Joyce, last year we had Sergeant First Class Mike Lubovich on, and he was telling us a story about the Metrodome, and I found that to be pretty interesting. Now, we're back to football season, and there's a bunch of home games, and I think you remember the story. Do you get called in by the city or someone to sweep the dome for those home games?
Yeah, for our missions at the Metrodome, they're called standby missions, where there's not necessarily a threat, but we're there just to ensure some level of protection for the public safety. And we support the Minneapolis Fire Department, who supports the Minnesota Vikings. The story that you're referring to is some of our members were walking around with RAD devices, which are devices that pick up radiological patterns. And they hit some readings that weren't necessarily significant, but enough that they were alarmed. So they tried to narrow it down as to where these were coming from. And they found that a person who was enjoying the game from within the suite had just had some medical therapy done the day before, and they were actually reading the isotopes that were radiating from this person's treatment the day before.
So your equipment is that powerful and that accurate that in a Metrodome full of 55,000 people, you can spot that one person that had a medical treatment the day before.
Absolutely, sir. And we do pick up on anomalies every now and then, just like you mentioned. So we have picked up on some similar circumstances even this year.
Comforting to know that you're out there doing that. Sergeant Joyce, how often do you get the opportunity to train with local first responders and fire department and so forth?
Every month, at least once. Every month we have a full-scale exercise, and it'll be with a various city or fire department or the FBI or the Minnesota Department of Health. Or, you know, we have a lot of partners that we work with, Minnesota Homeland Security Emergency Management. And in these, it's a full-blown, sometimes up to 72-hour training mission that we'll do. Outside of those full-scale training exercises, we'll also go to different cities and work with different fire departments to introduce our equipment, maybe to help them out with any equipment that they have that they don't fully understand, just to build some relationships. So quite often, Tom.
It's got to be comforting for them to know that you've got more powerful equipment and all this expertise on your team as well.
Yes, sir. And not only do we have the expertise, but we also have the time to be proficient in our equipment, where a lot of these other hazmat responders is a second duty on top of their normal duties. So they're stressed, they're overworked.
Sure.
And for us, it's we get to focus on it every day.
We're speaking with Staff Sergeant Josh Joyce from the 55th Civil Support Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Joyce, you were telling me about another incident where a person was driving into Minnesota and came into contact somehow with some anthrax, took himself to the hospital. Can you tell us about that story? How did that all unfold, and what happened?
Yes, sir. This happened just last year. A gentleman was driving through the Great Plains states out west, headed towards Chicago, I believe. And when he passed through Minneapolis, he was so sick he checked himself into the hospital. And the hospital confirmed that he had actually contracted an anthrax spore, so he had anthrax. The mission was through the FBI, and we searched the vehicle for samples to determine if there were, you know, any indications to where the anthrax may have came from, you know, if we could find out, you know, what layer of dirt it was in, anything. It was pretty much determined it was just a rare occurrence of anthrax in the wild. Anthrax is a biological threat, and it can happen in the wild.
So in this case, the guy was just driving somewhere, came in touch with it, drove himself to the hospital. The hospital's protocol said, it looks like anthrax. They reported it to the FBI, and the FBI called you in to try to find out if this was a threat or just something accidental.
That is correct. It's got to be a 1 in 100 million chance that it could happen, but it did.
Wow. It's great to know that you can do that too. Any idea? Did the guy recover? Any idea? Did he help you figure out what he got in contact with?
He did have a full recovery. Yes, he did recover. I don't know how much help he was to figure out what he came in contact with, but
what a strange deal.
Yeah, it sure was.
We talked earlier also, you've got some major events coming up, some major training events.
Yes, sir. In October, we will be working with a couple of our partners from Duluth, the U.S. Coast Guard, and the Duluth Fire Department Chemical Assessment Team. And we're actually going to be doing a no-notice call. So as the 55th Civil Support Team, we don't know when it's going to happen, but we'll get a call. Certain members will board on some UH-60 Blackhawk helicopters. They'll fly up to Duluth, where they'll then get on some Coast Guard ships. And then the Coast Guard will drive them out to the scene on Lake Superior. And then our team, wearing full hazmat gear, will then do a shipboarding to try and pinpoint exactly what the problem is on this ship.
So they will have set something up for purposes of training, and you have to go in and figure out what's going on.
Exactly, sir, yes.
That should be a lot of fun.
It's a challenge. It's very hard.
Sergeant Joyce, one last thing I want to talk about is a few weeks ago in the news, there were some reports that there were some government helicopters, military helicopters, doing some training in the Twin Cities, and everybody got all excited about it and what's going on, and people were afraid. You usually blend into the background. Do people even see you when you're on at the Metrodome doing a sweep?
You know, they may see us, but we try to look real casual. We wear regular civilian clothing. We try not to be identified. We try not to scare the general public. In some of our missions, though, even training missions, you will be able to tell it's us because we're wearing hazmat suits. We've got a mix between green gear, which is what we refer to as military-issued gear, and commercial gear. But we try to keep a low profile. We had a large training mission out at the Mall of America a couple years ago. And because the amount of business the Mall of America does, they didn't want us to be seen at all. So we carried out the entire mission without being noticed or seen.
Sergeant Joyce, we're just about out of time. It's comforting to know that the 55th Civil Support Team is out there protecting us. What would you say to our young listeners thinking about joining the Minnesota National Guard or get involved in the 55th Civil Support Team?
I think that's a great idea, Tom. Best thing that ever happened to me. Changed my life. You know, I convinced my wife of how hard it is, but you get to hang out with the guys and the gals of the services. It's a blast. As far as joining the 55th Support Team, it's the funnest team I've been on. It's 22 active duty people. We have a great time. We work hard. And I think that'd be a good goal for any young man or woman.
And another great example of how the Minnesota National Guard is helping support all of the people of the state of Minnesota and all the people of the United States.
Absolutely, sir.
Sergeant Joyce, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Staff Sergeant Josh Joyce, Information Systems Analyst on the 55th Civil Support Team from the Minnesota National Guard. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is Staff Sergeant Jim Davis of Columbia Heights. Jim has served in Germany, Vietnam, Korea, and the U.S. for over 21 years as a cook and mess steward supervisor. Also, he worked as an instructor in food services and fed up to 10,000 servicemen at one time. He has completed amphibious training at the Little Creek Naval Base in Norfolk, Virginia. He is always there during any situation, including two hurricanes off the coast of New England, of New York, and Fort Hood, Texas. Now Jim wants to work in customer service and continue serving our community. Jim and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Jim Davis, contact the South Minneapolis Workforce Center at 612-821-4009. That's 612-821-4009. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll learn about the Minnesota Department of Transportation's Veterans Outreach Program. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. This message is to help employers recruit and hire top-notch people. Did you know that only 27% of the men and women between the ages of 17 and 24 qualify to be in the U.S. military? That's right, only 27% qualify to be in the U.S. military. Did you know that 1 out of 6 veterans were on the front line? That means 5 out of 6 veterans worked in supply and support positions. Did you know that the United States military is one of the best training institutions in the world? Our veterans have received excellent training on the latest supply and support technologies, the same supply and support know-how that is required to contribute to the success of a company. The words unselfish, technology talented, and policy discipline describe most of our veterans. If those words describe the type of person you're looking for, do what I did. Add to your job postings and your website that you're a veteran-friendly employer and participate in the National Hire Veterans First campaign. Thank you, veterans. Thank you, military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about a new initiative that increases the number of veteran-owned firms who can bid on Minnesota Department of Transportation projects. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
This summer, I had the opportunity to attend stand-down events in the metro area and greater Minnesota. Stand-downs are collaborative events coordinated between the local Veterans Administration, government agencies, and community agencies to serve the homeless. It's an incredible sight to see all the various providers come together and provide a much-needed safety net for our veterans who are experiencing difficulties. This net can take many forms, including food, shelter, clothing, health screenings, VA and Social Security benefits counseling, and referrals to a variety of other necessary services, such as housing, employment, and substance abuse treatment. These events continue to impress me. For more information on other work being done to help homeless veterans, visit the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans website at macv.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is Alex Tittle, the Deputy Director of the Office of Civil Rights for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Alex, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Alex, you're a young man, but I understand you were in the military.
I was in the military 10 years and proud of it. I was in the military roughly from 97 to 2007, and my first 6 years I was a enlisted soldier, a military and intelligence soldier, and I went to a great officer candidate school in 2004 and finished up as a captain in the United States Army.
Captain Tittle, I like the sound.
Cool.
Captain, you're now the Deputy Director of the Office of Civil Rights for the Minnesota Department of Transportation and in charge of the Veterans Outreach Project. Can you tell us about your position there and about a little bit about the project?
Certainly. The Department of Transportation has a civil rights office, which I am the assistant director for. What we're responsible for is making sure that businesses and individuals who oftentimes get overlooked based on race, gender, status, meaning veteran status, oftentimes get overlooked. We stand firm in the doorway to ensure that those individuals, those businesses, have a fair shot at getting work, in a nutshell. And a lot of that is being supported by federal and state statutes.
And the Veterans Outreach Project is to reach out to disabled veterans and others to make sure that they have access to some of the contracts at the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Absolutely. We've got some awesome legislatures and within the state of Minnesota, one of which I'd like to mention out of Forest Lake, which would be Representative Bob Detmer, actually co-authored a bill this year to support veteran businesses in the construction trades. Now, this program is supported through the federal program, which we are looking for veterans to verify themselves. You can't take advantage of these preferences without being verified. And lately, I would say this time last year, we were struggling at about 62 veterans. Actually, in February, we dropped to about 30 veteran-owned businesses. We recognize a very drastic need in which we had to send out a request for proposal to businesses to see if they could go out and do some marketing and outreach for us to find those veteran-owned businesses. Because if we don't get them to bid, we can't advocate for them and their presence on our contracts.
And Alex, you brought along today a guest who won one of those contracts to help you with this project.
That is correct, Tom. We have Alan Duff with us who was awarded back in, I believe, March of this year for the Veteran Marketing and Outreach Project.
Alan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
Alan, I understand you were also had a history of being in the military for 20 years.
23 years, Tom. Retired in 2005 as a major, was a Desert Storm vet, and proud to be a retired service member.
And you're the president of Duff Consulting.
Correct. We're a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business based in Isanti that does marketing and outreach type of projects as well as a variety of other type of things. But we're basically an outreach and promoting company.
So you want a contract from Alex to help him with the Veterans Outreach Project, and what is it that you're supposed to do on that contract to help him reach out to all of these people to have access to these contracts?
Well, as Alex said, our first job is to find the veteran-owned businesses that are out there in the construction industry throughout the state of Minnesota. This is a state initiative, so we've had our efforts focused on the state of Minnesota. Find those businesses, help them get verified through the VetBiz process, which is a federal process, and then connect them to the MnDOT system and to the prime contractors so that they can work together to help with future road construction projects throughout the state of Minnesota.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're speaking to Alex Tittle and Alan Duff about the Veterans Outreach Project. Alex, seems kind of basic to me, but one of the first things you're talking about here is finding where there are service-disabled veterans and people eligible to bid on the contracts.
That's right.
Is that a big job? It seems like a logical place to start. Where are you?
Exactly. And unfortunately, MnDOT struggled with that for a very long time. Where are the businesses? In particular, where are these small, disparate businesses who normally don't get an opportunity? So along with not just being a keyword these days, you hear the president and a lot of old folks talking about how they want to support the troops and yellow ribbon this and yellow ribbon that. We want to take a very specific and significant stance in trying to find veteran-owned businesses. Like I said, January this year, we're struggling about 30 businesses within the construction industries, roughly. Now, if you look at the grand scope of businesses within the state of Minnesota that actually qualify, or I won't say businesses, but projects for Department of Transportation that actually do work in construction, we're talking about roughly about 100 or so state projects, not to mention state-aided projects and things of that nature. Now, under each project, there's about, I would say a couple hundred different scopes of work. And you've got three businesses to do that actually qualify for preferences to do that. There's a ton of opportunity out here, Tom, for veteran-owned businesses to take advantage of. And guess who's getting it now?
Just a few firms, I would guess.
Well, not even just a few firms, but regular businesses who would just do this work. I mean, veteran-owned businesses have a great opportunity to take advantage of work. If you're a small business trying to get up, you're leaving Iraq or Afghanistan, and you're a young soldier trying to start your own business as an entrepreneur, this is a prime opportunity. If you're a business that's out there right now who've been viable and just trying to figure out how to make it work within any aspect of Department of Transportation's working, be it professional, technical, or construction, there's a viable opportunity for you right there. So there's a wealth of opportunities in MnDOT for small veteran-owned businesses. And I want to key in on the word small veteran-owned businesses to take foothold of projects and actually become a viable working member of the construction trades.
Alex and Alan, as we've heard on this radio show many times over the last couple of years, there's over 380,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota, and there must be thousands of veteran-owned businesses out there. Alan, is one of the things you're trying to do is to help Alex find more of those businesses that can bid on these contracts?
Absolutely. Early on in this project, the SBA, I've read some information, some research from that organization that estimates there's as many as 1,400 construction-related businesses owned by veteran-owned companies throughout the state of Minnesota. So our job is to go out and find them. I'm skeptical that there's that many, but there are lots. There are definitely at least several hundred that we can see. And that outreach that we've undertaken really started with the Secretary of State's office and working with Secretary of State Ritchie on contacting all the firms that are out there and find out if they were interested in veteran-owned status. And out of that initial effort, we found about 1,500 firms that wanted to continue the dialogue. And we hastily put together some workshops in July to introduce those firms to the MnDOT system and the various veteran preferences throughout the state of Minnesota. And we'll continue those efforts to connect with those veteran-owned businesses throughout the state with workshops coming up in November and December.
Alex, we've just got about a minute before we have to take a break, but how does a business qualify as a veteran-owned business for terms of accessing these MnDOT contracts?
Certainly. How a business would qualify, one, you have to be an honorably discharged veteran. Okay, so that's the first place. And and I want to take a step back. Alan mentioned this is a federal process, so these things are going to be vetted by the Department of Veteran Affairs as well as the Small Business Association. So you have to be an honorably discharged veteran. You have to be a 51% or better owner of a business as well. And obviously they're going to take a look at your taxes and to make sure that you qualify as a small business to qualify as well. So there's a number of things under that that you would need to qualify for, but just those basic two things, honorably discharged as well as being a 51% or more owner of your business.
Alex, we have to take a short break, but before we go, where do our listeners go for more information on the Veterans Outreach Project?
Certainly. You would definitely want to direct your attention to the website, www.dot.state.mn.us/civil rights. And under there, you're going to see a tab for veterans, and click on that, and it'll give you all the information that you need.
Well, that's a mouthful, but we'll have a link to that site on the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page. Make it easier for the listeners. We've got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the contracts available from MnDOT. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Alex Tittle, the Deputy Director, Office of Civil Rights from the Minnesota Department of Transportation, and to Alan Duff, President of Duff Consulting, about the Veterans Outreach Project. Alex.
Sure, that's okay.
Captain. We'll call you Captain. I can keep that straight. Captain, for our listeners out there, there's a lot of listeners, I'm sure, that are veteran-owned small businesses that would just love to have access to a MnDOT project, maybe not as a general contractor, but maybe as a subcontractor, and they're worried about the process, takes too much time, too much paperwork. What does it take to be eligible and to get a part of those contracts? Can you walk us through an example? How does this work, and can they get it done?
Absolutely, they can get it done, Tom. Obviously, you know, working with the state or with the government in general, there is going to be some administrative obstacles in your way. So
it's going to be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. But the good thing is we have a staff that's prepared to assist them with that. We have Minnesota's very own National Guard member, who's our veteran specialist. Her name is Michelle Reynolds, and her number is 651-366-3335. And it's easy to get in touch with her. She can walk you through the process. But the way that this would work is we would post a position or a project. And then from that project, you as the veteran-owned business, if you verified, you would solicit the prime contractor for that job. All right? But taking a step backward, MnDOT would set a goal on that project. And we have to set a goal, whether it's $2 state dollars or $2 million state dollars. We would love to set a goal as high as possible. So the higher the goal, the more opportunity is for a veteran-owned business to take advantage of a project. If veteran-owned businesses do not make themselves available, there's no way that we can set a high goal. That means it makes it almost impossible for veteran-owned businesses to take advantage of this grandiose opportunity.
So the MnDOT contracts are open to all businesses, but what you're trying to do is encourage more small veteran-owned businesses to participate either as a general contractor or as a sub and try to make the process as easy as possible.
Absolutely. We want to open the door as wide as possible. Like I said, you got to bid. There's no way we'd find out or we can set a solid goal on the project if a veteran-owned business does not make him or herself available. You know, as my dad used to say, a closed mouth does not get fed, Tom. And there's no way we'd be able to advocate for you if we don't have you to back us.
So back to the example for our veteran-owned small businesses that want to participate on some basis, they can either call the lady that you mentioned, and we'll have some numbers and links on our website. But once they get in there, are they going to get overwhelmed, or are they going to be able to fill this paperwork out and qualify in a relatively short period of time? Is it doable for a small business that doesn't have a whole bunch of administrative people?
Absolutely. Right now, there's this one form that's out there when you solicit to a prime contractor called an Exhibit A, and you'll basically put down your capacity, how much you can bond, and then the prime contractor is expected to take the rest from there. my specialist, Ms. Reynolds, will be in touch with businesses that have responded with that Exhibit A and let them know what the deal is. Do you qualify? Can you bond this project? Is it possible for you to move forward with the work? And then that basically answers the question, are you ready, willing, and able to do the work? And are you geographically located in a position that can allow you to do the work itself?
So, Alex, if your prime contractor on a project is not a veteran-owned business, do your goals you mentioned, do you put goals on them to try to spend so much money with their subcontractors with veteran-owned businesses? Do they apply to the prime contractor as well?
Absolutely. The goals themselves apply to the subcontract, and we establish that by, the like I mentioned earlier, Tom, ready, willing, and ableness. Are they in the right location? Do they have the bonding capacity? And are they prepared to do the work? Okay, that's the first thing. As far as the prime contractor is concerned, you'll see something in the legislation about a 6% preference. Primary contractors get a 6% preference to bid on a project. So if you all come in, this is a low bid state. So if you all, if five contractors come in at $2 million on a project, this is how much they estimate to do the work. And you have a veteran-owned business there, they get a 6% preference over their counterparts bidding on the project. Case in point, the prime contractor, whom of which is a veteran-owned business, will get the work.
So you're really asking today on the show and with your outreach project, you want the small businesses to show up, stand up, fill out the firms. There's work there. There's money there. There's contracts there. Come on and play.
I'm pleading to my brothers and sisters at arms to step up, step out on faith, believe in the system, and give me a call, my staff a call. We'll walk you through the process. We can't do anything until you apply, get verified, and show up for the project.
Thanks, Alex. Alan, we just got about 30 seconds left. What would you say to those veteran-owned small businesses out there?
Well, first of all, I'll say that it's been an honor to reach out to these veteran-owned businesses. I think back to the Vietnam veterans and their appreciation for the state of Minnesota stepping up with this. And for the returning soldiers recently, their excitement over starting a company has been very exciting. MnDOT has afforded this opportunity for veteran-owned businesses. The opportunities are tremendous. And as Alex said, I would like to implore our veteran-owned businesses to get engaged and get involved in this and help us to show the skills, the capacity, and the interest in working on future MnDOT projects. The opportunities are plentiful. We just need to help find those veteran-owned businesses and getting them engaged in the process. To get further engaged in upcoming opportunities, we are establishing work stops throughout the state of Minnesota beginning November 14th in Brainerd. And at these workshops, we will have opportunities to meet with the MnDOT contracting staff as well as key prime contractors who are involved in these road construction projects throughout the state of Minnesota.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. For our listeners, we'll have a link to the MnDOT site so that you can look into these contracts, and I would encourage you to give it a try. Alex really wants to give you some money.
Absolutely.
So we've been talking to Alex Tittle and Alan Duff about the Veterans Outreach Project on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining us now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be back here.
Sergeant Major, I understand that September is National Suicide Prevention Month and that the Minnesota National Guard is actively participating in this campaign. Can you tell us what you're doing to recognize it?
Sure, Tom. As you probably know, the military as a whole has been struggling with suicide issue for the past couple of years. And the Minnesota National Guard's really taken a stand on this, and we're working to address this. We've actually put in place quite a few things that we've been doing for over a year now. For instance, we've been doing quarterly resilience training and education for all of our soldiers and airmen and even our family members, and I think that's really paid off for us. Every soldier and airman is trained to recognize the signs of suicide and to know how to intervene in the problem. We have a program where we call Ask, Care, and Escort. And so you ask the soldier if there's a problem, and you take care of them, and then you escort them to get some help if they need to. It's part of our comprehensive soldier, airman, and family fitness training that we've been undertaking that's really doing some great things for our numbers here. We always want to encourage our soldiers and airmen to seek help for mental health-related challenges. One of the problems that we face is that there's a lot of stigma around going to seek help when you're having some issues. And so we've really tried to destigmatize that whole process. We've also sent some our general officers out to do face-to-face engagements with every unit, talking about resilience and how important that is in the fight against suicide. We've trained a bunch of master resilience trainers, some resilience trainer assistants to help work with our soldiers and airmen. We have some applied suicide intervention skills trainers that specifically concentrate on suicide intervention. And we also have specific suicide intervention officers that we've trained, along with our military family life consultants and some embedded providers that work with our chaplains. So we've really taken this on as a huge issue in the Minnesota National Guard. But specifically for September and for Suicide Prevention Month, we're conducting a suicide prevention stand-down. And that will entail all of our service members taking 8 hours to specifically focus on resilience in their lives. The theme for the 2012 stand-down is Shoulder to Shoulder, We Stand Up for Life, which is really important. I think our goals include enhancing awareness of the resources available to help people who might be in need. We also want to, again, reduce that stigma involved with seeking help for mental health issues. And increase awareness of suicide risk factors and the warning signs, and just basically improve life skills, which is what resilience is all about.
Sergeant Major, with all the training and education that's taken place regarding suicide prevention, have you found any one piece of information that's most helpful for suicide prevention?
You know, we really have. We've found that when it comes to recognizing and treating mental health problems, people like friends and coworkers and supervisors and especially spouses, they're the first line of defense. They know the soldiers and the airmen better than their doctors, but typically they're at the front line of this. It's really important that they know the signs and that they're willing to intervene, and that can really make a difference.
Sergeant Major, are these efforts making a big difference for the Minnesota National Guard?
We've seen a lot of difference. To date, these efforts, coupled with the fact that we've had active unit leadership caring for soldiers and airmen, and then we've trained some people in resilience and suicide intervention. We've had a result of 0 Minnesota Army National Guard confirmed suicides to date this year. So that's really a really significant thing for us, and we're hoping to continue those numbers.
But as you say, if you save one service member, it's worth it, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's why we do it.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today and sharing all of this information and all that you're doing to help with this very important issue.
Thank you, Tom.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We just have one mention today. Don't forget the Welcome Home the Troops Pheasant Hunt coming up next month on October 20th and 21st at Wild Wings of Onika and Hugo. For more information, go to our Facebook page. That's Minnesota Military Radio on Facebook. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Staff Sergeant Josh Joyce, Alex Tittle, Alan Duff, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shelladoe of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we learn about the new county bid, private sector, and state government veterans preference programs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.